From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As part of its ongoing project of dismantling public safety protections, the Trump administration is considering rewriting a rule that regulates mercury and other hazardous emissions from coal-powered plants. The Mercury and Air Toxics Standards, which were implemented in 2012, have dramatically reduced pollution from dangerous chemicals and protected public health. The EPA's own estimation is that the standards prevent up to 11,000 premature deaths, 100,000 asthma and heart attacks, and create up to $90 billion in healthcare benefits annually. The announcement to rewrite the mercury and air toxic standards comes just days after Trump's government announced it would gut the Clean Power Plan, which was President Obama's signature climate change achievement. The upshot is that Trump is paying deference to coal, an industry that's already dying a natural death, over the health and well-being of Americans. My guest is Marianne Hitt, director of Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. Welcome to the program, Marianne.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be with you.
So let's specifically talk about the issue of the mercury and air toxics standards. This is a very critical rule. Many Americans may not have heard of it, but most Americans do know that we've been cautioned against eating too much fish, too much tuna because of mercury contamination. There's certain fish, certain types of fish that we're told we should sort of try to avoid or just not eat it a lot all at once. And that's because we've seen mercury creep up, levels of mercury creep up in fish, and it's a neurotoxin. So we understand mercury is out there and it's dangerous. What role has this particular rule played in addressing this very important source of pollution, of a very important pollution chemical, which is mercury?
Well, you're right. A lot of your viewers and listeners have the same experience I have as a new mom. When I was pregnant, going to the doctor, I was told to avoid certain types of seafood because they were known to be high in mercury. And you wanted to avoid getting mercury into your body because it is a known neurotoxin, especially for babies in the womb. So if a baby's exposed to too much mercury, it can have a lowered IQ, it can have delays in walking and talking and development. And those are lifelong impacts on a little baby. And so mercury is a very widely known neurotoxin. And historically, the biggest source of it was coal-fired power plants. There were, believe it or not, no federal standards in place for mercury pollution from coal plants because they had enjoyed this loophole in the Clean Air Act for decades. And during the Obama administration, that loophole was finally closed. And standards were put in place that required every single coal-fired power plant in the country to put on pollution controls to cut the mercury coming out of the smokestacks by 90%. And it was that mercury coming out of the smokestacks that was then falling into the water in the form of rain and precipitation and getting into the seafood that we eat. And so those regulations went into effect. Every coal plant in the country was required to comply with them by 2017, and they did. It is a huge public health success story that every single coal plant in the country reduced its mercury pollution. There are maybe a half a dozen or less very small coal plants that were given an exemption that didn't have to comply because of the type of coal that they use, but the vast majority of coal plants have already complied with the standard. And they actually wrote a letter, all the utilities wrote a letter in July to the Trump administration asking him not to roll this back because they've already invested so much money in complying with the standards.
Right. So that's a big question. So if coal plants are already complying with this important rule, what is the point? It's not that we are seeing a big wave of new plants that are being built. And if they were being built, it would in fact be easier to build them with these safety standards in place already. So what's the point of this?
You're right. No new coal plants are being built in the United States. Half of the existing ones have already announced they're retiring. Every coal plant in the country has complied with the standard. I believe it's an ideological attack on environmental regulations and the Clean Air Act. The current head of the Air Office at EPA, Bill Wareham, is a longtime energy industry lobbyist, a Washington insider. He has been in the EPA before in Republican administrations. And I think they are essentially trying to unscrew the bolts of the foundations of the Clean Air Act. And this is less about granting some relief to polluters because they aren't even asking for it. But this is really more about trying to kind of in a sneaky way start dismantling the foundations of the Clean Air Act. And so, of course, we're going to fight back. But I think it's, you know, the fact that the Trump administration would roll back a standard for mercury, which poisons kids, that every coal plant in this country has already complied with, is a sign of how extreme they are, frankly, and it's a sign of how extreme their agenda is. And as a mom, I find that frightening. I expect parents across the country who are worried about air and water pollution would feel the same way.
I want to just emphasize for a minute that this rule that was put into place in 2012, so not very long ago, is an example of the importance of government regulation. We just hear from especially Republicans, deregulate, that these are rules that hamper corporations in any way are meant to, end up thwarting the economy and leading to low-paying jobs and their extra bureaucracy. But this particular rule, which you're right, is such a success story in a way that we sort of take for granted because we don't, we complain about the things that are hurting us and we forget to appreciate the things that have worked that are keeping us safe. How critical is it for us to understand that this rule, which was put into place just a few years ago, has worked so well?
It has worked so well. If you think about, again, the regulation, the standard was put in place around 2012. Utilities, they all complied with it by 2017. No one's electric bills went up because of it. No one's lights went out because of, coal plants that couldn't comply, shutting down. Our air and our water are going to be a great deal cleaner, and there's going to be less mercury in the fish that we eat. And that, to me, is the very purpose of why we have the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act in the first place. I live in a small community in West Virginia where we have a very toxic insulation factory trying to move into town. And there's been a big grassroots uprising of people who are outraged that something like this would be landing in our community. And one of the things it has reminded me of is how much people are counting on the EPA. They assume that somebody is on the job, that the EPA is there to make sure our air and our water are clean, and that those who pollute our air and water will be held accountable. And the reality is, on the right, there has been a huge push for decades to dismantle the very regulations that keep our air and our water clean. That's what this is all about, this move by the Trump administration to get rid of a mercury rule that already has, has been complied with. It's really about this ideological desire to get rid of regulations at any cost, and especially environmental regulations tend to be one of their favorite targets. So it's a favorite target of the right. It's a favorite target of these big polluting industries. But for regular Americans, they are counting on these air and water standards being in place. And frankly, they're just assuming someone is on the job until it suddenly turns out that their air or their water are not safe. And under this proposal from Trump to roll back these mercury standards, even though all the coal plants in the country have complied with them, it still opens a Pandora's box. And we aren't really sure yet what it will mean for our air and our water.
Marianne, on this issue of how the coal plants complied and not a single one shut down, what about jobs lost? Not that someone's losing their job is necessarily still something that, we should defer to when we're talking about the health and safety of children. But still, that's what Republicans do to get votes. Could Trump or the Republicans argue that these standards cost jobs in the coal industry?
Well, to be clear, there were some utilities that, to comply with this mercury standard, they were going to have to make an investment in a coal plant, put on some kind of pollution control device at some plants. Some plants were already in compliance. And for the oldest and dirtiest plants, some of these plants were 70, 80, 90 years old. And so it was a question for the utility of whether to reinvest in a very old coal plant or instead to retire the plant and replace it with clean energy. And this is a decision that utilities across the country are facing increasingly, in part because we aren't building new coal plants and the existing ones are getting older by the day. Also because renewable energy is cheaper than coal for the first time in history. And so if you are a utility and you're looking at a coal plant that is creating a huge amount of air and water pollution and you're facing some upgrades to clean up that pollution, sometimes the better alternative is instead to retire the plant and move to clean energy, which is what we're pushing to do in the Beyond Coal campaign. Now, that does create a question about jobs and about economic transition. And there's a couple things happening there. One is a lot of these utilities are very large corporations. And so oftentimes the retirement schedule for the coal plant, if they're responsible and compassionate about it, it can be a long enough retirement schedule that the workers in the plant either retire or they can move to other jobs within the corporation, within the utility. So that is what ends up happening in a lot of these cases. And in the cases where if that isn't happening for some reason, I believe as a West Virginian that we owe a debt of gratitude to people who've sacrificed to power this country by mining coal, by sacrificing their health, by sacrificing their clean air and water. And I believe we should be reinvesting as a nation in coal communities and supporting an economic transition, because we all have benefited from the sacrifices made by people in coal communities.
So, as I mentioned earlier, the proposal to rewrite the mercury and air toxics standards came just days after the government announced that it wanted to gut the Clean Power Plan, which again is deference to the coal industry. This was a signature part of President Obama's climate change achievements. You know, he did not do enough. This was one of the few things he did do that was positive, that went in a positive direction. And I understand that this particular Clean Power Plan doesn't just address the issue of climate change, but also pollution, which has, you know, a direct impact on people's health. Republicans can try to argue that climate change isn't real, but how do they argue that pollution doesn't impact the health of people? So what is it that the Trump administration wants to do by the Clean Power Plan?
Well, they introduced last week a rollback. I recently said they've been on a roll of coal rollbacks. You like a little rhyme there. And they introduced a rollback of the Clean Power Plan that essentially renders it meaningless. And in the release of this replacement of the Clean Power Plan, one of the findings was that it would increase premature deaths in the United States by 1,600 every year. So 1,600 potentially more premature deaths in the U.S. every year, because if you're giving a lifeline to these old polluting coal plants, they are massive sources of pollutants like sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, things that are linked to heart attacks and asthma attacks and strokes and really serious health problems. And so by potentially extending a lifeline to these plants and no longer calling on states to kind of clean up their electricity generation in the state, that poses a real threat to people from the potential life extension of these coal plants. But I will say that at the Sierra Club, we believe what they have done is illegal, and we are almost certain to challenge it in court once the time comes to do so. And we are very close to meeting the targets of the Clean Power Plan already. The Clean Power Plan called for a 32% reduction in carbon from the electric sector, and we have already reduced it in the same time frame by 28%, because states and cities are moving to clean energy. They are the places where we make those decisions about where our electricity comes from. We don't make those decisions in Washington, D.C. And this push for clean energy is gaining momentum because renewable energy is cheaper than coal. And so Americans can now have cheap and clean energy instead of expensive, dirty energy that's giving them asthma and heart attacks. They are choosing the clean and cheap energy, and repealing the Clean Power Plan, repealing the mercury rule, repealing coal ash safeguards, none of those things are going to stop the shift to clean energy. And so instead of giving false promises to people in coal communities about bringing coal back, I believe what we need to be doing as a nation is investing in an economic transition so that those places can be part of the 21st century energy economy.
So just as the rolling back of the mercury and air toxics standards is somewhat of a moot point because coal power plants have already come into compliance with it, in the same way the rolling back of the Clean Power Plan is something that is just so nonsensical, given that states are already ensuring we're in compliance with it and have surpassed their goals. It is, you're right, it just basically, this is not an issue that has any bearing on practical reality. It is just an ideological ploy. Now, these things will get challenged. They will end up in the courts. And next week, as the Senate is going to start confirmation hearings on Brett Kavanaugh, Trump's Supreme Court pick, do you think that these issues are also part of what's at stake with Kavanaugh's possible confirmation to the court?
Most definitely. There was just news out today that around Kavanaugh and his position on Mercury, and the fact that in the past he had made some decisions that are being viewed as kind of hostile to the Mercury standards. And I think he has a pretty long track record of being hostile to environmental regulation. And certainly the Sierra Club is one of many organizations that's pushing to make sure those issues are front and center in these hearings. So it would definitely be troubling to have for our air and our water and our climate and our health to have someone on the court who has a track record of giving deference to corporations instead of enforcing our clean air and clean water standards. And so the Sierra Club is very involved in that as well. And the mercury issue, in fact, may be the mercury and air toxic standards may be an issue that we hear about in the hearings.
Well, let's hope those are actually raised. Now, Senators Tom Carper and Lamar Alexander have written a letter on the mercury issue to the Trump administration, really urging them to not roll this back. How on top of it are senators in challenging the rolling back of these regulations?
Well, I grew up in East Tennessee, actually, and Senator Alexander has long been a champion of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And one of the biggest threats to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park historically has been air pollution from coal-fired power plants, especially the big plants in the Ohio River Valley that then that pollution blows into Tennessee. And so interesting thing about mercury pollution in particular is it crosses political lines. There are a lot of senators who may be skeptical of climate change, who understand very clearly that little babies in the womb contaminated with mercury pollution is something that we should put a stop to. And so there is bipartisan support for these mercury standards, and especially now that they've gone into effect and the utilities have complied, I think we will see bipartisan pushback on the repeal of these mercury standards. And we're seeing that already. And frankly, you know, we're seeing it from the utilities that invested money to comply with the standards. All of the big trade associations that represent the utilities sent a letter to the EPA asking them not to roll this standard back. They've already made the investments. They've already complied. And they were pushing for this not to happen. So again, this is less about trying to bring relief to some industry that supported Trump and more of an ideological battle against environmental regulation that's being, frankly, waged out of the EPA at this point in time, which is unfortunate, but that's where advocacy comes into play, and that's why we need everybody involved.
Well, Mariana, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website or two for where people can find more information.
Indeed, sierraclub.org. We've got lots of action alerts there if you want to take action on this. And beyondcoal.org is the site for the campaign I run, where we are working to retire coal plants and replace them with clean energy. And we are making a lot of progress, and everyone is connected to this issue. So we'd love to have you involved.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Marianne. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Marianne Hitt is director of Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign, and we've been discussing the rewriting of the mercury and air toxic standards and the rolling back of the Clean Power Plan. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.